Ah, presto. Tonight I'm going to share a very beautiful idea of Moran HaRav Soloveitchik Zatzal. It's related to the Parsha that this coming Shabbos, Parshas Vo'era, and the Rav commented on the language of the pasuk that I actually spoke about in last night's shiur as well. So you have in front of you the Hebrew text. This is taken from Rabbi Shechter Shlita, Hagoyin Rabbi Herschel Shechter Shlita, who wrote up this shiur. It actually appears in a number of places, and I heard it on different occasions from Rav Soloveitchik. So I want to read the language of HaRav Shechter Shlita because it really very much reflects the content of what Rav Soloveitchik said. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, vayomer elav ani havaya. Notice that Rav Shechter spells out the language of Yudke Vavke, which of course is the Shem Havaya. These are two different Shemos of Hashem, as we mentioned last night. One is the Shem Elokim, and one is the Shem Havaya. But then, Rav Soloveitchik cites a very fascinating medrash, which is almost inexplicable. A medrash which at the surface, when you look at the medrash, it's quite difficult to understand and seems to be incomprehensible. V'isa b'shmos rabba shama, he cites you the source of the medrash, Parsha Vav Simen Aleph. Hahu dichsiv. The Medrash cites a pasuk. I assume that some of you may be familiar with this pasuk. Ufanisi ani liros chochma v'hovelus v'sichlus. Who is talking? Anyone could perhaps figure out the source of this pasuk, where it's from, I'll give you a hint. So one of the Chumash Megillas. Which Megillah does it sound like? I'll translate it to make it easier for you. That the person who is talking said, I decided to go investigate all the different disciplines that exist in the world. Ufanisia niliros chachma. Not only did I investigate the different disciplines, the areas of knowledge, different bodies of knowledge, but also holelus. I wanted to see what it's like to live a life which essentially is completely and totally saturated with fun, with gaiety, with holelus, where people are having a great time and people are enjoying themselves and people are in a buoyant kind of state. That's a second area that this person was investigating. Besichlus as well. Foolishness. How could a person expect to come after the king? Everything's already prepared. Hakol muchan l'suda. Hashem already has, in effect, laid out everything in front of us. So, whom is the author of this pasuk, and which Megillah does it come from? Any guesses?
Eicha.
That is not correct.
Maybe Boaz and Rus?
That's also not correct. Wow. There's a need for this audience, this august audience, very honorable B'nai Torah, outstanding B'nai Torah, to study the Chumash Megillas. And this specific one is Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech. I thought you would be able to intuit from the translation that I provided for you that Shlomo HaMelech essentially attempted to explore the world at large. Is something which is quite relevant to probably many of you. At the age that you're in, I'm sure you're still in the path of exploration. You're still trying to find a way to navigate the shoals of life, of the world, of society. So Shlomo HaMelech did so. Rav Soloveitchik goes on. Ha-pasuk hazeh nemar al Shlomo v'al Moshe. So the Medrash tells us, and this is also taken from the Medrash, that this pasuk is referring to two individuals, two great personalities, one Shlomo HaMelech and one Moshe Rabbeinu. Al Shlomo Ketzad, So the Medrash goes on to say, how is it referred to Shlomo HaMelech? Shenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah LeYisrael, when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Nasan LaMelech Mitzas Mitzos. You're familiar with the Parshas HaMelech in Sefer Dvarim, in Parsha Shoftim. We know there's an entire Parsha devoted to a king. There's even a Machlokes HaRishonim. Is there a mitzvah to appoint a king? Or essentially, is it a reshus? Is it an option that exists to call yourself to appoint a king? You know that Shmuel HaNavi was not very happy about the idea of appointing a human king, a Melech Basav Adam, because he indicated to Hashem, when Hashem told him this is what he should do. And you know, I imagine whom the first king was, Shaul HaMelech. And Shmuel responded, Hashem Hu Malkeinu, Hashem Hu Moshiyenu, we have no need for a king, because Hashem is the ultimate king, the absolute king. And Hashem apparently disagreed with Shmuel, and of course Shmuel had no choice but to adhere to the directive of Hashem Yisbarach. So the Medrash goes on to say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, a king also had a number of mitzvahs that he has to fulfill, Shenemar, and we're familiar with some of them. Lo Yarbe Lo Noshim, Lo Yosu Levavo, not supposed to have beyond a certain number of wives. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, up to 18 and no more. And then there are other strictures that are imposed upon the Melech. The Chesed Bezov, Lo Yarbe Lo Bo, you shouldn't amass mass amounts of gold and silver. And the Torah also instructs him to write a Sefer Torah, Bahayu Keshifter Al Kisim Mamachto, a melech has to be accompanied by a sefer Torah. And he has to accompany him in order that he should have proper Yirah Shamayim. And then the Torah goes on at the end of that parsha and says, we're always worried that a king might become taken by himself, by his lofty position. We know about politicians that they are certainly taken by themselves a bit more than an eighth of gaiva. Usually it's 100% gaiva. We see it all the time. So king, the Ramban there writes that that's what the Torah is essentially legislating against, gaiva. A king should not be misgoyah. He shouldn't become arrogant. So the Rav Soloveitchik goes on, and again indicating, based on the Medrash, that Omat Shlomo HaMelech, the Medrash says the Shlomo HaMelech got up, v'hechkim al gzirasa shakadosh baruch hu v'amar. What did he say? He said, I don't think that these strictures that the Torah mentions, namely having a lot of wives, that might deter me from the path. Ani arbe v'libi lo yosa. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said. I can have many wives. As you know, how many wives did Shlomo HaMelech have? 1,000. Of course, they converted the way the Rambam writes in Yisurei Bia. You can't possibly imagine that Shlomo HaMelech married women be Giyusan, who were Goyim, who were Shiksas, Chas V'Shalom. So Shlomo HaMelech thought, Ani Arbe, I'll have wives, I will not be affected, I won't be impacted by all these wives. That's the more or less the precy, the content of the Medrash that Rav Soloveitchik cited on this Pasuk. At the beginning of Vayera, this week's Parsha, Vayidabre Elokim Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. So our Shechter Shlita continues. And the continuation is in the Medrash. Omer Rabbo Seino. This is part of the Medrash. The Medrash says that Chazal tell us, also Yud, the letter Yud, came about, Shebi Yarbe. What did the Pasuk say in Sefer Dvarim and Pasha Shoftim? Lo Yarbe Lo Noshim. What is the translation of Lo Yarbe? He should not increase the number of wives that he has. So the Yud came and nishtakal b'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu and essentially prostrated itself before Hashem, the Umra. And the Yud said, Ribon Ha'olamin, lo kach amarta, ein os b'telem en ha-Torah li'olam? Didn't you say that every single letter in the Torah is critical, is crucial? And didn't you indicate that no os, no letter can be rendered null and void? Hare Shlomo omeid u'mevatel osi. What is Shlomo doing? He is negating my existence. The Yud, the letter Yud, complained to Hashem. B'shem ha'yom, yibatel achas. Maybe one day, one letter will become batel, will no longer have any use. Ulemachar acheres, and the next day, a second letter will become defunct, extinct. Achet isbatel, kol ha'Torah kula. Till the entire Torah will be, Rachmanu Litzlan, repudiated, undone and negated. What exactly does this medrash mean? What is the medrash talking about? What is the medrash saying? The complaint of the Yud before Hashem, that first I will be somehow sidestepped, and then subsequently more letters will be sidestepped till the entire Torah will become batal. So Rav Soloveitchik asked, Ketza Nemar al Moshe, so this refers to Shlomo. Now we go to the next personality that it was said about, namely the pasuk that the Medrash calls from Koheles, referring to Moshe. What is the reference to Moshe? The Kvish Shakvah Hodi HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Moshe Shal Yanecho Sam Paro Lelech. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu at the very beginning, when he was designated as the man of Yisrael, that Paro will not permit them to go. He will come to Paro and tell Paro that, let my people go, and Paro will refuse. Paro will be intransigent. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't keep this to himself. But Moshe Rabbeinu complained at the end of last week's parsha, the end of Shemos, and we discussed this in the shiur last night. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do when Hashem imposes upon Klal Yisrael, because obviously it was with the Haskam of Hashem Yisbarach, Ke'ilu, namely the Egyptians began to increase the burden and they took away the straw and obviously things got much worse, much more difficult. And Moshe Rabbeinu complains to Hashem, Lama Ariyos, Lama Zeh. So that's what the Medrash indicates, that both Shlomo HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu somehow did something which was inappropriate. Shlomo, by, in effect, undoing the letter Yud, the Pasuk says that Lo Yarbe Lo Noshim, a king should not increase the number of women, and the word Yarbe means to increase, and that's the Loshin Osid in the future. Arbe, Tarbe, Yarbe, B'chulu. And similarly, with Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem indicated to him that Paro is not going to release Klal Yisrael. He'll simply relinquish his hold on them in a very short kind of way, but rather it's going to be a process. And Moshe complains to Hashem. So our Soloveitchik goes on to say, and I circled it, Oyonir Lomar, Dimitchila Yeshlahav, in my time, Omu Chazal, Shevak Hayutshi Beteba Yarbe, Bob, and Ishtatra Nakarish Bohu Liton, why only that letter came to complain to Hashem? The entire word should have complained to Hashem. The word Yarbeh, they should have come to Hashem and complained that we are being eliminated. And here's what Mefarshim explained, and Rav Soloveitchik articulated this idea very beautifully. The Hayud Hios Achik Tana Shebechal Osios. Yud is the smallest letter of all the letters. As we know, ubedar klal he darko shel yetzer. What is the way the yetzahara works? Shemaskel lahashil asadam b'dvarim peutim meod. The yetzahara starts small. The yetzahara says, "Okay, I see a chink in the armor. I see a weak link. I see that this person in a certain area is not necessarily that strong. Let me go ahead and attack that area." So he starts small. Ayin Gemara Sukkah. He quotes the Gemara at the end of Masechta Sukkah. The Yetzirah b'tchila doyma l'chut shel kuvya. Initially, the Yetzirah looks like a very thin kind of strand, a thin rope. L'b'sof doyma l'avosos. And at the end, it becomes a thick rope, which essentially is with a heavy wagon. V'kach hoya gamkem b'tchilas tenuas ha-reformim. Said Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's how the reform movement began. Sherak mochaku es ayikum purkan ha-sheni. Soloveitchik was very fond of this comment. You know, one of the reforms that were introduced by Reform Jews in the 1800s is that they said, what do we need this Yikum Purkan for? That we say on Shabbos, after the Haftorah, after Kriyas HaTorah, we say it twice. What essentially is Yikum Purkan all about? As you know, it's essentially strengthening the position of Talmidei Chachamim, of Torah scholars, the position of Torah, of those who support the Tzibur, wonderful Balabatim, who are Osi B'tzarchi Tzibur Be'amuna. So they said, what do we need this for? First of all, a lot of it is Aramaic, and it's obviously extinct, and it's obviously not relevant, and it's not modern. So they eliminated it. And then after that, they said, what do we need two of them for? We eliminated one, may as well eliminate the other. And as a result, I go on the bottom of the page. They then remove many parts of the Siddur, parts that relate to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't like this Zionism. They had no interest in promoting Eretz Yisrael. And Ukimamor Shal Shadal, there was a famous Talmud Chacham, and he was also a very well-known scholar, Shadal, Shmuel David Lutzato. He's actually in the famous Moshe Chaim Lutzato's family, the author of Messiah Sesharim. He came several hundred years later. So he said, on these reformed Jews, that what they were trying to do, Pasuk in Bereishis, what happened when the Malbul came? Vayimach es kol ha-yikum asher al pnei adama. What did they do? They erased all the yikum. They erased everything in civilization. Asher al pnei adama. But it's a play on the word yikum. Anyone who's a Balkari can appreciate this. It means first they eliminated one yikum purkan, then they eliminated the second. So essentially, kol ha-yikum asher al pnei adama was eliminated by them. And that was the point of Rav Soloveitchik, is that once there's a chink in the armor, once there's a weakness and it's exploited, once the Yetzirah gets a hold of you in one area, oh boy, then it's going to insinuate itself once it gets in. And once it now has a foothold, then the foothold will become larger and larger, greater and greater, bigger and bigger. And that's exactly what happened here. Ochein, he writes further now on page 6, Samaches. There's another explanation that Soloveitchik offers. The word yud, as I told you, refers to the future tense, correct? Arbe, tarbe, yarbe, narbe. I assume all of you studied some diktok, at least probably in first grade. I don't know if anything went beyond that. But we studied diktok at a very young age in kindergarten, and we continue to study diktok, and that's why we're able to appreciate Tanakh and Psukim and Chazal and Gemara's. So the word Yud refers to the future. Klomar, the Afim Yoda Shlomo Ba'atzmo, Shemahoba Loshach, Shigulo, Ribu Yanoshim Shechta. Right now, Shlomo thought that the number of wives that I had is not going to cause me to sin. How would he know it's going to be in the future? How do you know that these additional wives were not impact him, would not jar him, would not sway him, would not entice him, would not influence him? There's a concept in halacha which maybe you're not so familiar with, namely that a Jew has a store, and let's assume that he has a store which he essentially operates every single day of the year, including Shabbos. So how do you do that? You're not allowed to work on Shabbos. So there's something called a shtar mechira. You drew up a shtar mechira, and the shtar, let's say you have a non-Jewish partner. So now you, in the shtar mechira that you draw up, you indicate that all the proceeds for Shabbos are going to go to the non-Jew. You will not benefit at all from anything that takes place on Shabbos, because we know that the Gemara says that Maisa Shabbos is Asur. You can't benefit from Chilul Shabbos. So you don't want to benefit. So what do? You simply make an agreement with the guy. So Rav Soloveitchik was very much not in favor of this kind of shtar. Why? Even though it may not affect your Shmir Shabbos, namely the Jewish partner, but eventually, in terms of your children who will take over the store, they might not see things the way you do. Once they inherit this business, they may very well, Rachman Litzam, because of what you did with the shtar, they may very well be Chilul Shabbos. There'll be a diminution in the next generation or in the subsequent generations. So what is Rav Soloveitchik suggesting pshat in this medrash? The medrash is suggesting that once the Yetzirah gets in, once it creeps in, little by little, Rachman Litzam, if you don't stem the tide of the Yetzirah, if you don't squelch it at the very outset, at the very beginning, Rachman al-Litzlan, it can have catastrophic kind of effect. We can use very simple examples of technology, which obviously has a outstanding function. We are presently using technology for the purpose of saying a shir, of teaching Torah, and undoubtedly there are, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of shiurim out there that a person can tap into. And there are so many ways that people can gain from technology. People take courses online and are using technology in the most sophisticated kind of way. But tragically and unfortunately and realistically, we know that technology also has a downside to it. People can enter sites that are absolutely unconscionable, that are, to a large extent, repugnant, repulsive to everything the Torah wants us to be associated with. And you're not doing it because that's what you're deliberately trying to do. Chas v'shalom, we assume that all of you are Yirei Mushleimim. You have a lot of Yirei Shamayim, and Baruch Hashem, you're increasing in the Yirei Shamayim on a daily basis. But sometimes things happen. We're not in control. And as a result, we enter sites that we really should not be entering. And everything has an impact on my neshama. And Rachman al-Litzan, the Yetzer Hara, once it seizes a foothold, so then it could be devastating. The ultimate results could be, Rachman al-Litzan, catastrophic beyond belief. It could actually desiccate the Jewish neshama, lead you off the derech. And unfortunately, it's happened countless times, and especially even now that we are utilizing technology. So obviously filters are in place, and one should only have a filter, but at the same time, even filters are able to be sidestepped very easily by people such as yourselves, who are very, very competent, who are gedolim and ge'enim and gedoli ador in the area of technology. And you have the ability to get around it without difficulty. I'm an Amoras Daraisa, so I don't have any ability whatsoever. And therefore, I'm not involved with any of this technology except for the Zoom that you see in front of me. And that's the extent of it. But that's the point that the Medrash is making, that even someone of the stature of Shlomo HaMelech, Chacham Mikol Adam, he thought, no problem, Ani Arbe, I won't be affected. So first the Yud goes, and it goes not just in the present tense, but ultimately in the future as well. Rav Soloveitchik goes on to describe the same phenomena with Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm reading further now in the paragraph that begins, V'al derech zo ashniya nira levar gabichetel shal Moshe, l'chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the Pasha B'shalach, if you remember, the last pasuk, the Torah says, ki yod al kes ko, melchama l'Hashem ba'amalik midor ador, the obligation to wipe out Amalek. And there it mentions that, ein Hashem sholem, ve'en ha'kiseh sholem, ha'chi'imach ha'zar shal Amalek. Notice the term for the Shem Hashem is truncated. The Torah does not use the full Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, but uses Yud Hei, which is, we describe it as Ko. Ve'evi Shem Rashi Meloshen HaMedrash. Rashi quotes what I just mentioned. Ein Hashem Sholim Menachise Sholim Achi Yimach Hashmo Shel Amalek. Amalek represents evil. Amalek is evil incarnate. They are the epitome. They are the quintessence of evil. And the Shem Hashem is not going to be Sholim until evil is eliminated from the world. Now, Soloveitchik explained this in light of a din of Shulchan Aruch, a fascinating halacha. The Issa of Shulchan Aruch are Chaim Simon Hay, that Simon Hay talks about the Shemus of Hashem. Shekavonas Hashem Havaya, what does the Yud Kei Vav Kei represent? Hoya Hoy Veviyya, the Hainu, Hayud Shebizkiras Hashem Mora La Asid, the Yud addresses the future. The Hay, at the end of Yud Kei Vav Kei, addresses the past. The Hay and the Vav in the middle, Yud Hay Vav Hay, referring to the present. Of course, they use the tetragrammaton, the 72 letters of Hashem, when the Kohanim Duchen. We don't know any longer what the 72 letters are, how they're to be pronounced. That's when they use the 72 letters, the tetragrammaton, the full Shem Hashem. When the Kohanim are duchening and doing the Avodah, we see right in front of us the glory of Hashem. We know what was in the past, and we believe what's going to be in the future. I was not a churban, I'm four lines in the bottom. When Amalek took over, we no longer have the same kind of vision, the same kind of clarity. We only know what was in the past. And we believe what's going to be in the future. So today, what do we say? We no longer say Yud Kei Vav Kei, because Yud Kei Vav Kei is only when the Shem Hashem was in its full glory and splendor. And today, that has been, unfortunately, truncated, snuffed out, and we're left with a partial Shem Hashem. Shehayud Shem Etchilas Hashem in the Yud Hei speaks to the future. I'm on the bottom line. And the hey at the end of the Hashem speaks to the past. The chein hachinamim shenigla kadosh baruch hu lemoshe v'pam rishona. When Hashem appeared to Moshe the first time, lo nisgala lo b'shem havaya. Hashem did not reveal himself with the full name, with the full yud kei vav kei. Ki arei hayu az redifos v'harigos v'chlal Yisrael. That was not an ideal situation at that time with the Jewish people. Ugzeres b'chol yom, because we have, as the Torah describes in Shemos, v'yar ish mitzvi, makei ish ivri. We have all types of fisticuffs going on. An Egyptian is beating up a Jew, kol ha-ben ha-lil ha-oret ha-shechu, and male children are being thrown into the Nile. That's why Hashem did not appear with his full yud kei vav kei. Moshe was told that Paro is not going to free Klal Yisrael from the shackles of slavery. He spoke to him about the past. That's the beginning of Shemos when Hashem appears to Moshe in the context of the snare, the thorn bush. He tells him, it's in the brackets here, Anochi Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Yaakov. And he also told him, Odesa Asid, regarding the future, Zeshmi Leolam. And the Gemara Pesachim, I referred to this Gemara yesterday at the end of the third parak. Isa shekolu be'nevu ala asid. This has in it a prophecy for the future. V'yashem l'melech ha'kol arz v'yem u'yiyah havaya echad v'shma echad. V'ashem eke asher eke. You recall that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, how shall I call you? And Hashem said, eke asher eke. Which the Rambam writes in Mor Nebuchim is, Hashem is existence par excellence. He's the height of existence. Hushem al-shem al-asid. It's relating to the future. Hashem is Barach. Hashem did not tell him Sheyara Gila Machusa Yisbarach Ba'ovah. He's going to show him the glory of Hashem right now. Ki adayin yamshichu b'tzaras hachatov ha'gula l'besov. Ultimately, the gula will come, but right now we're still wallowing in tzaras in many, many difficult situations. V'asher al-kem lo yashach li izgalos ilo v'shem havaya. Hashem could not appear to Moshe when Klal Yisrael was in a state of turmoil with the full shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei. U'shelo kibel paras nebuas Moshe. And now, at the end of Shmos, of Parsha Shmos, Paro did not accept the Nebuah Moshe Rabbeinu, v'hichmi the Savoda. He made life more difficult for us. V'hei Rali Yisrael b'yoser. Then it says, v'yosher Moshe el havaya. That's when the Yud Kei Vav Kei is used. V'tzorachi l'avalei n'meimar el eke. Since Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem came to him and identified himself as eke asher eke. Why did he now go ahead and say, v'yosher Moshe el havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei? Hashem then revealed himself with that name. Moshe complained. That's the end of Shmos. There's no way that Klal Yisrael can continue just being in the past and the future. Next page. We have to also in the present have a connection with Hashem is Baruch. That's why you didn't use that term of Eke Asher Eke. Ela Havaya. Hashem HaKol B'Socha Ovar V'Osiv Gam Hoveh. This Shem of Yud Kei Vav Kei has in it the past, the present, and the future. Hoya Hoveh V'Yiyeh. All that is embedded in the Shem of Yud Kei Vav Kei. V'Ayin Shem B'Sof Divi HaMedrash. Now he quotes the end of the Medrash. V'Yaldov HaZeh B'Kshu Amin HaSadim L'Vkav B'Moshe. So the Amin HaSadim was very angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, wanted to punish him. And that's why it says, Vayidaber Elokim on Moshe. The Lashon of Elokim is Minas Adin, a strong description of Hashem Yisbarach. L'fishin istakal HaKadosh Baruch Hu shebishul tzar Yisrael diber kein. But Hashem realized that Moshe Rabbeinu only spoke as he did because of the tzar of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says in Baal Basra, Ein adam nitfas ha-Moshe omer b'shas tzaro. People sometimes say things they don't really mean. They say because they're in a very difficult situation. They're under siege. They're stressed out. They're full of anguish. Moshe was full of anguish for Klal Yisrael. And so he spoke as he did. But Hashem recognizing that and being sensitive to that. So what does Hashem do? Even though he began to speak to Moshe in a very strong way by Dabar Elokim, but quickly Hashem retracted by Yom Re'elav Ani Hashem. Chazer v'noag imo b'mina sarachamim. Ha'u dechsiv v'yom re'elav Ani Avaya. If you remember, that's exactly what the pasuk says, beginning of Vo'era. Vo'era l'avam ha'yisov v'yadaka b'kel shakoi. Hashem appeared to them, not with Yud Kei Vav Kei. What shame? Shin Dalad Yud, which Ramban calls Shodeid Marchot HaShamayim. Hashem is a kind of lahavdil. Shodeid means a robber. a robber baron. Hashem is a kind of robber baron. Shodei machod hashamayim. That's how we appear to the others. They didn't appear with Yitzchak Vavke. And yet they didn't complain. That's what Rashi quotes. Chaval da'avdim v'lo mishtachin. Woes to those who no longer are here and are not found. That many times Hashem promised to the others and didn't necessarily fulfill the promises. Shemehem lo shamati shum taromas. I never heard any complaint. Moshe Kasavashi, she has talked to Melokiyamti. I promised them things, I didn't fulfill them. Lo hira, rachami dosai. Ayin shamim medish rabba. Zuei so gam to'usa shoshlomo gam to'usa shomoshe. So both of them were mistaken in this respect, in this regard. Sheshneir bakit gishu es ahove. They only spoke about the present situation. Lo hevinu she'ika haristoria shokal yisrael hu be'avar hu be'osin. Rav Soloveitchik often spoke about this topic. Namely, that Klal Yisrael consists of, we are individuals who live in the past and live in the present and live in the future. He's the sign of Mishnah and Edios, Mishnah that speaks about connecting past, present, and future. I imagine that maybe some of you may have seen, or may have heard, or may have read that Rav Soloveitchik once said a shir, and in the course of the shir, he was talking about how he was having difficulty when he learned a certain Rambam, and before he knew it, the Ravid appeared on the scene, and before he knew it, Rabbi Natan walked in, and other Rishonim came, and later some Doli Achronim. He said when he would actually have a Seder, Belel HaPesach, in the house of his father, he felt that the Shagasari was there, Abi Kivega was there, Rabbi Chaim Briska was there, they were all present at the Leil HaSeder. Just as when he was learning, he would actually see in front of him his grandfather, the Shach, the Rashba, Rabbi Natan, and he would argue with them, because our Masorah is based on, literally, a time continuum that is not necessarily unrelated to the past, but it's related to the past. We take the past into the present, and the present we take into the future. There's a connection of generations, of many, many doros come together. That's a very beautiful idea. It's based on a Mishnah, the Masachet Edios. The Mishnah actually speaks about Tziruf HaDoros, or Mispah HaDoros, that generations can jump. And even though Hashem said in the Bris Milah Absarim, V'avodim v'inu asum abad me'oshona, and he told us, Dor Revi Yeshuvu Heina, which seems to be a stira in the Psukim, Dor Revi seems to be a much shorter period of time than 400 years. How is it possible to have both Abba Me'oshona in the Bris Milah Absarim, at the same time tell us that the Dor Revi Yeshuvu Heina, the fourth generation, is going to come back? That's much less than 400 years. How do you have these two Psukim that are so sum zezed, that clearly contradict each other? So the answer is that if Klal Yisrael does tshuva, then Hashem will redeem them in a very short period of time. Otherwise, Rachmanu Litzlan will have to wait a period of 400 years to be redeemed. So this is a Mishnah Maseches Edios, and this undoubtedly is the yesod based on this notion that we are able to jump generations. There's the Tziruf HaDoros, or the Diluk HaDoros. And then the amount of time in Mitzrayim will be considerably shortened. And this is what Klal Yisrael is all about. Klal Yisrael, in effect, is a new entity. Klal Yisrael is not just an amalgam of many, many yechidim, of many individuals. No, Klal Yisrael is a new entity, a new concept. And this is written already by Kuzari and by others, that Klal Yisrael is literally a Yeshut Nifredet. We are a completely separate entity. And of course, that entity consists of every single Jew. And we have here a very extraordinary, I would say even unusual, combination of Jews in the past. We still relate to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, relate to all the Avos and the Imahos, relate to the Dol Yisrael of yesteryear, even though they're no longer with us, but they are with us. And that's exactly how we are operating. And of course, we look to the future and we live in the present. There's a statement that Rav Soloveitchik felt was not l'fi hashkafas HaTorah. And that statement is, Ha'avar Ayin, the past is gone. V'ha'asid Adayin, and the future is yet to come. V'ahove, and the present, K'harif Ayin, like a wink, like a split second. According to the Hashkafas HaTorah, the past is still with us. The future is right in front of us. Kilu is taking place today. In other words, we have the ability to somehow transcend time. Past, present, and future are all merged together, all come together. And also, let you write in the last paragraph over here that the Tos of Moshe and Shlomo, they only emphasized the present. They didn't understand that Klal Yisrael's history is based on the past, based on the present, and based on the future. They're all combined and all merged into one. In the last paragraph, he writes, Yahdut America, Gamkin lo hevino, Jews in America also didn't understand Meshech Harbei Shonim. They didn't realize she'etzvichim lashkia harbei kesef b'chinuch. If you want to be successful, you have to spend enormous sums of money for the chinuch of your children, for the education of your children. U'v'miyuchah b'yeshivas haktanus, in yeshivas, which of course are elementary schools or parochial schools or private schools, that refers to not just the elementary school age, but even high school age and beyond that. Shezu ashkol ha'asido shal hayadus. This is an investment in the future of Judaism. Ki ha'peros lo yigdalu, that the fruits are not going to grow. Ad le'achad ki yud tesvav shonim, only when people begin to become teenagers and then older, that's when we begin to see the fruits of our labor. V'tachad lo says mikasvim l'chinuch. So what did Jews do during his era? Instead of spending their money on chinuch, on quality education, on quality rabbeim, on quality Torah institutions, they build these beautiful synagogues, architecturally, aesthetically. They were so pleasing to the eye. They were obviously ornate. They were gilded. They were synagogues that were worth millions and millions of dollars. But the problem was that they didn't spend a comparable amount of money on Jewish education for their children. What does that do? That gives us a very good feeling when we enter the shul because we see a beautiful, a splendid structure in front of us, and that's important, no question about it. The Gemara says that that the Gemara speaks about a beautiful Beis HaKnesses, part of the mitzvah of Zekeilu Bi'anveyu. One should have a beautiful pair of tzitzis, a beautiful pair of tefillin, a beautiful bate beis knesses, a beautiful shul, a beautiful beis medrash. Those are very, very critical. But that's something which is only in the present. We will have to worry about taking the past and bringing it to the future and creating a glorious future by mechanech, b'nei Torah, b'nos Torah. We should be able to somehow be zoche to develop an entire generation. And that requires a massive amount of hashkoah, a massive amount of investment. So just summarizing what Rav Soloveitchik said here, a very important yesod, which he interpreted this medrash, the beginning of Parshas Vayera, namely the medrash that comments about two individuals, two great personalities, two great tzaddikim, Shlomo HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, Shlomo HaMelech thought that he could go ahead and do something that would not necessarily be in sync with what the Torah directed him to do, namely Lo Yarmul LaNashim, and he won't be affected. And once a person steers from the path, even in a small kind of way, that can, chas v'shalom, that small chink could develop into a gaping hole, into a massive fissure, into a chasm, which then, of course, can no longer be controlled. And in a similar kind of fashion, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem told him very clearly that it's not going to be a simple process. Paramelech Mitzrayim is not just going to release Klal Yisrael out of their bondage, not going to relinquish hold from the shackles that he has on them. And again, the way Rav Soloveitchik interpreted this Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu, also of a similar nature, similar to Paramelech Mitzrayim, the concern was only the present, but in reality, all of us have to be worried about the past, the present, and the future. And all of us know very well that generations of Jews who grew up in America, that's in the days of Rav Soloveitchik, were not of the same caliber necessarily as Baruch Hashem, the generation that came after, and your generation is above my generation in many, many respects because you have a certain vitality and a certain Baruch Hashem, an incredible effervescence and a certain exuberance and a certain passion that early generations did not have. Those that followed upon the heels of the Holocaust, many of them assimilated, many of them acculturated, many of them became part of the wider American scene. And unfortunately, we lost many, many families to assimilation. I am reminded of someone told me today, this great Talmud Chacham who just passed away, HaGoyin Rav Yehuda Kellermer Zechatzag Debracha, the Rav of the Young Israel West Hempstead, whom I knew for many, many years. Before him, there was a Rav, Rabbi Shalom Gold Shlita. He lives in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. He should have Arichas Yavim B'shonim. Before him was my Rebbe, HaGoyin Ratzidov Kenatapsky, Zechatzag Debracha. But in the days of Rav Kenatapsky, Jews were talking in the 40s and 50s, they were essentially conservative. Even Jews who frequented that synagogue, and they were very distant from the heritage. And the rabbi, Rabbi Kenatapsky, was a great Talmud Chacham, a great Golub HaTorah, had to somehow find ways to speak about the politics of the day, to somehow try to bring them in closer. And the next, Rabbi Shalom Gold, who's a firebrand, he was also able to bring them a bit further. But this guy, Rabbi Yehuda Kellermer, created a shul of outstanding B'nai Torah and B'nos Torah. And again, we see the different generations coming together, the past, the present, the future. That's what the Rav spoke about. We have to believe that Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shomer Yisrael, Shmor She'eris Yisrael, Val Yuvad Yisrael, Ha'omim Shema Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam is some of the gods, Klal Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem, we have the great schus here in the yeshiva and Tar Shraga of teaching such a wonderful crop of young men who are budding B'nai Torah, who are really, in many, many respects, way beyond my generation, and way beyond the previous generation and previous generations. And that is, of course, the bridging of all the different generations, past, present, and future. Halavai, this connection between one generation and the next, which is the continuum of our Masorah, should continue with great bracha and atzlacha, ad bias gol tzedek, Mashiach tzikeinu, b'mher b'yameinu, amen b'yamein.
Man. Thank you, Rashiva.
Thank you, Rashiva.
Okay.
Thank you, Rashiva.
Continue that tzlach and bracha. Have a wonderful night. Say shalom, shalom, Netanel. Be well, have a safe trip, and hopefully we'll continue to be in contact with each other, Mitzvah Hashem, for many years to come.
Mitzvah Hashem, thank you, Rashiva.
Okay. Talk to
you. Bye.